The following podcast is a production of St. James Episcopal Church in Skaneateles, Atlas, New York, and features thoughts and musical reflections based on the lectionary for this week. It is available on our website and Apple Podcasts. All music is licensed to St. James for streaming by One License and Christian Copyright Licensing International. For more information, visit stjamesskan.org. Due to technical difficulties during the 9 a.m. service last week, we were unable to capture the sermon. And due to technical difficulties during the 10:45 service last week, we unfortunately had no sound at all for anyone, even in person, momentarily. But we were able to resolve that. You'll hear a little bit of that at the beginning of today's episode. Thank you for joining us today.
Let me tell you a little story. I was stuck in the middle of Africa with a bus full of friends. It was my biggest fear. I literally didn't want to go to Africa. I was afraid we might break down in the middle of nowhere with no AAA. And there was no AAA. And suddenly somebody stood up on the bus after an hour and said, "Let us pray," and the bus started. We can't promise that.
Yes, we can. The Word of God is living and true, sharper than any two-edged sword. And the Word of God that people have heard for generations, the one you're going to hear this morning from the Gospel of Luke, people have heard and have applied to their lives and to their situation, and that's what we will be doing again today. The other thing that I just want to remind you of is that in the Episcopal Church, we're lectionary-based, which means that there's a calendar that we use that determines what readings we read every single Sunday of the year. So we don't pick them, they pick us. And I lay out the preaching schedule for the entire year. I can tell you who's preaching any Sunday from now until the end of January. When I first started talking with Alicia, we think it was 2 or 3 months ago, I had no idea what the texts were for today. And yet, she is the person I believe the Holy Spirit has chosen to open this word for us today. And I believe this text was given to her because God has something to say through her to us. And so I invite you to be open and ready to be touched by the Word of God this morning. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" The lawyer answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, the lawyer asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied by doing what Jesus characteristically did, was telling a story. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on him. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, "Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spent." Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The lawyer said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Holy Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Well, good morning, St. James. It is so good to be with you and see you today. I am so grateful for the invitation from Reverend Becky. I think you guys know she's fabulous, right? What a wonderful pastor you have, and thank you to Pam and Chuck Stewart, who just have hearts of gold and the hospitality they offered my husband Larry and I. So just so thankful to be with you here today, and as you heard, the word of the Lord comes from the gospel according to Luke. So let's just pray for a moment as we prepare to hear from the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us here today. Thank you for the beauty of the day and the beauty of the people and the beauty of the worship and just all the ways, big and small, you bless and keep us. Holy Spirit, you who are living water who nourishes our spirit, you are welcome here. You have been here, and we invite you to remain and move among us. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are here and you never leave nor forsake us. Let us hear what it is you have for us today, and let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strengthener and my redeemer. Amen. This scripture of the Good Samaritan is probably quite familiar. My goal today, thank you. I didn't want to mess with it. My goal today is to help us view it through maybe a slightly different lens than you've seen before. And as we read in the story, a man is traveling when he's attacked by thieves, and eventually someone comes along to help him. And Jesus told this story in response to a lawyer. The lawyer actually had asked 2 questions. The first was, "How do I inherit eternal life?" And Jesus guides the lawyer into answering his own question. The secret to eternal life is fulfilling the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. This was the answer, and the lawyer got it right. But then he felt the need to justify himself. So he asks Jesus a follow-up question. Who is my neighbor? Rather than simply say your neighbor is so-and-so, or your neighbor is X, Y, and Z, Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan.
And the audience hearing the story would assume that all the characters would be Jewish like them. But there is a plot twist. A Samaritan is present in Jesus' story. Samaritans were Gentiles, meaning they were non-Jewish people, and there is quite a tense history between Jewish people and Samaritans in Jesus' time. There is not only ethnic tension, there's even ethnic hatred. Matter of fact, Jewish people and Samaritans avoided each other at all cost in biblical times. So to have the hero in the story actually be the least expected person in a Jewish person's mind, a Samaritan, is a game changer. And this hero, this least expected person, this Gentile in the story, is the one who is esteemed. The one who in the crowd's mind is considered to be the outsider is the one who gets it right. The one who has been labeled enemy is the one who shows oneself to be a friend. It is the one who the crowd does not want to be a neighbor to, who is walking the actual path of a true disciple. The Samaritan is our example of true discipleship. Whereas the priest and the Levite crossed the street from the injured man and distanced themselves from him, whereas the priest and the Levite make a choice to walk away from the man, the Samaritan instead stays on the same side of the road. The Samaritan walks towards trouble, not away. And not only does the Samaritan choose to draw close, but then he goes a step further and chooses to help the injured man on the side of the road. This road that Jesus refers to actually does exist. It existed then. It still is there now, the road between Jerusalem and Jericho, about 12 miles, a little steep and curvy, lots of places where people with bad intentions can hide. It really is a risky situation for the Samaritan to stop and help the man on the side of the road. But the Samaritan does it because of his pity. The other word for that is compassion. Out of compassion and solidarity with this man on the side of the road, the Samaritan helps. And the Samaritan was surely aware of the fact that his ethnic and social cultural identity was an offense to the man on the side of the road, but he helps him anyway and gets this man to safety at a local inn. And perhaps we can say that actually was enough. The Samaritan did his part, but on top of getting the man to safety, so the Samaritan then pays for his stay, gives the innkeeper a sum of money, and then says, if that is not enough, tell me, and I will pay you more. So the Good Samaritan not only shows awareness of the problem, and the Samaritan not only expresses empathy and solidarity with someone with this problem, but the Samaritan goes further to participate in justice. Justice seeks to restore what has been taken, to correct what has been wronged, to mend what is broken. The Samaritan may not have been able to apprehend the thieves who harmed the man on the side of the road, but the Samaritan did acknowledge the man's wounds. The Samaritan may not have been able to arrest the ones that hurt this man, but in his act of empathy and solidarity, perhaps he restored some of that man's faith. The Samaritan may not have known what had been stolen from the beaten man, but the Samaritan's generosity gives back a little of the resources that the man has lost to help this man get back on his feet without accruing further injury. The Good Samaritan enacts empathy, compassion, solidarity, action, and justice. Those things sound a lot like the kingdom of God to me that Jesus preached so much about. By making the hero of the story someone who is perceived to be an outsider, inferior, stranger, enemy, Jesus is on purpose challenging the notions among the crowd of who is to be included in the definition of community. My neighbor, my community, those I choose to see and have compassion for and deem worthy of my attention and consideration are not just those who look like me, who act like me, who do the things I do and say the things I say and live what I live, but this definition of community, this definition of neighbor, includes precisely those I usually avoid and those who I may even despise. In our country, we live in a racialized society, meaning that we are marked by our race. And in this racialized society, whiteness has been equated with normalcy, belonging, citizenship, inherent value, innate authority, and superiority. Racialized slavery and colonialism subjugated black and brown bodies by force, excluded BIPOC people from civil rights, and is still today causing systemic injustice. And all of these things have been justified by the ideology of white superiority. We have inherited this system, this way of being, this lifestyle, this mindset and worldview, this psychosocial perspective. We have all been born into it. It is part of the polluted air we breathe and the contaminated water we drink. It is part of us, and we are part of it, whether we like it or not. Like the Samaritan, people of color in the United States have been deemed outsider, stranger, not belonging, less than. In predominantly white churches, for the most part, there is a verbal objection to the ideology of white superiority. Some white Christians these days even find themselves trying to learn more about this problem of racism and gain some awareness, and most white Christians are even probably quite nice to people of color. And so white Christianity probably believes that it behaves like the Good Samaritan. But upon closer examination, when it comes to matters of the heart and actual practice, white Christianity really is like the priest and the Levite. The priest and the Levite who ignore and avoid. I'm not racist. I'm colorblind. My family never owned slaves. I don't know any people of color, so this really isn't my problem. The priest and the Levite, who may have had sympathy but not compassion. So sorry for those people of color, those poor black people over there, dealing with those bad white people way over there, but we don't act like that here, so we don't have to worry about it. The priest and the Levite, my mother and father worked hard in life and they made it, why can't you? My grandparents were poor immigrants and they became successful, what is the matter with you, man, woman, lying beaten on the side of the road? In contrast to the avoidance and denial of the priest and Levite, the Good Samaritan sees the problem, admits it is a problem, and then chooses right action toward resolution of the problem. The Samaritan stays on the side of the road where pain and trouble and suffering is. The Good Samaritan takes a risk to engage this man, and the Good Samaritan expresses empathy, compassion, and solidarity with the one most in need. And the Good Samaritan leverages his own advantage, uses his own resources to make sure that the man does not suffer further. The Samaritan seeks restoration and does justice. Jesus tells this parable to challenge notions of who is insider and outsider, and also as a call to righteous action, to do the right thing towards those in need, especially the ones we may not even like. Because that is the fulfillment of the law and the meaning of the gospel. That is what it means to inherit eternal life. To show love of God and love of self and love of neighbor means to help the one in spite of risk, who is most needy, particularly when that person is the one you have deemed outsider and other. So since we now know how to fulfill the greatest commandment, The question is, will we do so, or will we try to justify ourselves? Who knows why the lawyer attempted to justify himself, why he decided to continue to engage Jesus in debate and challenge Jesus' teachings and confront Jesus' practices. Maybe he was showing off. Maybe he was jealous of Jesus' ministry and the disciples' success. Or maybe he simply didn't like his own notions of superiority and his complicity in systems and practices of exclusion challenged. And so the lawyer attempts to justify, some translations say, validate himself. And he does this against the one who is the master teacher, the one who is the very embodiment of God's intentions, the one in whom all community fits together. The lawyer's attempts, as we see, fail in light of spoken truth. His question was answered. We need to answer the question put to us: will we learn from the scriptures, or will we continue to justify ourselves? My family never owned slaves. I'm a good person. I don't know any people of color. I believe the response of the parable of the Good Samaritan to those statements is to ask, are you the type of person who wants to enact the values of the kingdom of God here on earth, the values of empathy and compassion, solidarity and justice? Because that is what Jesus has asked us to do. In other words, we are all part of this regardless of our family background. Following Jesus isn't about our personal feelings of goodness, but about God's righteousness. And are you sure there are none among you, no people of color, those who are different from you, present among you? Perhaps you're just not looking hard enough. Jesus ends this parable with turning back to the lawyer and the crowd and the disciples who are present, and he asks a million-dollar question. Who in this story acted like a neighbor? Who lived the greatest commandment? And the lawyer, and by extension the crowd and the disciples, answer him, the one who showed mercy. Let us not be the priest or the Levite, but indeed be the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan, the good disciple. Let us learn to break down barriers of separation that we have created, and let us not attempt to justify ourselves, but instead, let us hear the call of Jesus and go. Do likewise, and be a good neighbor. Amen.
The Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength.
So long, 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 long world.
Go and be creative. Go and work for justice. Go and love your neighbors. Go and walk with God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.
Wherever you are on your journey of faith, all are welcome here. For more information about this or any program offered by St. James, visit stjamessKAN.org.